Accession number 16713, Mr. M. Waterston, Reel 8.
Mr. Waterston, Reel 8. You were talking about guard mounting in your RSM Stray. What was he like?
He was a tall, thin bloke. Slim, just like a ramrod. And when he used to move, you just used to snap. Every movement used to be a snap. There was none of this lifting your foot up and down. He used to foot out, his leg used to gone back, and he used to click his heel in. Boy, it was a smash. But you know the way the RSM used to dress, you know, a high-up collar and breeches, you know, with putties. You boys, you just stood like that when he was on parade. And when he was on parade and when he used to move, you'd move. Boy, that he was smart. And mind, he used to mock you. He was a good sergeant major. He finished up at left-hand quartermaster, I think. Finished up.
Can we come back to look at the accommodation? You said you were sharing the houses and they were very wet with the water coming in at that time of the year. Were you sleeping in all of the rooms?
Well, there was only like one single cot, one big single room, you know. See? You couldn't say they were all part of this building, but you know, they were just...
Well, were you sleeping on straw, you said?
Sleeping on straw.
Was it just loose straw that you...
Just loose straw, no blanket on top. Ground sheet on top, you know, and then blankets. We had three blankets.
It was awful. How did you keep clean? What was the washing facilities?
We had ablution benches outside at the back. Cold water, man. No hot water. We didn't have any hot water for shaving and all that when we were at Charlbury. It was all cold washes. That was something that I missed out when we were at Charlbury. We used to have to shave and wash and shave in cold water. And the lads used to have to go around the civilians to let them use their set pots, you know, so they could get a bath. And we used to go into the farmhouse, lady in the farmhouse, my brother and two or three more of his mates. She used to let us put the set pot on, have a big bath and get a bath there. Because it was only about once a month that the company used to take us to Oxford, to Watney's Breweries. Watney's Breweries, and they used to fill these great big vats. We used to get in there, nearly drowned myself in the first time I got in there, one of them. Because I couldn't swim in and out or out like that. But the first time we went for a bath was after we got better from the flu. And I think we went there twice, and that's about all we got. That was the only organised bath place that we ever went to.
So in France you had this, again, cold water situation.
We had the cold water situation till... It was always cold water till... Oh, we had some good cooks and, you know, they had their soyuz built out. And the lance corporal that was on guard used to call the two corporals, Tommy Corn and Harry Rowntree. You know Harry Rowntree, the Sergeant Rowntree that used to be in the tea and that, and... He was down at the tier, sent in a long time. Jack Harrison was our cook. He was a lance corporal with me. Got his stripe the same time with me, Jack Harrison. He was Sergeant Harrison at the finish. And they used to fill the sawyers on the morning. Two sawyers used to be filled in the morning for you to go and down there and get some hot water and that for to shave and wash, you know. The lads used to strip off and rub themselves down with it.
Didn't charge you for it, did they?
No, they were good lads. You could get a...
Where did you eat?
The great big barn. outside barn, you know, where they used to keep their horse and carts in it. Two good cooks, though. When the lads used to go out on the digging, you know, what you used to say, the lads used to go out on the digging. They used to have a good big packed lunch, you know, to go out with. But when they came back, them cooks had a meal for them. And they used to have a meal for them, you know. No fancy stuff or anything like that. You know what they did one day? They went round all the billets, you know. The lads used to have to leave their kit for kit inspections, you know. They cut all the legs off the long johns. Cut all the legs off the long johns. Where the devil's the legs gone off old long johns? I mean, some of the lads had done it, you know, because it was getting towards me, you know. They'd done it. And your boys, when they went down to get that Dixies out, got down for that dinner, falling in twos. Falling in twos? What for? Falling in twos. And as you went past the Sawyer, Harry Rowntree and Tommy Cohn lifted a blinking long john leg out with a blinking meat pudding in. Like a wanted about that long, you know. Meat pudding about that long between two. Yeah,
foot long.
T80s, peas and all sorts, you know. And I'll never forget that day. You just laughed at that. I wondered what they've gone around the blinking billets for. Cut the legs out of the blinking long johns.
What were the toilet situations?
Oh, just a plunking. Plunk and
Hessian room. Nothing in the houses.
No, not in the house. Yeah, boys. Used to stink to high heaven. And lime. You put the lime in it. We used to have lad. Lad that gone to the blinking. Do you lie there now, Tommy Geddes? He used to be always on the latrine there. Him and George Smith, Smucker Smith. They're still alive, you them lads. They're alive, Ollie. They're in my section. I used to get all the waifs and strays in my section.
So you ate in a barn and you were sleeping in a house. Toilets were outside.
Everything was outside. Yeah, right.
What
it was a really down-to-earth, hard life.
What kind of heating did you try and keep the billets warm?
But no, they heating. Just to get muffled up in a blanket, they heating. The only heating was in one room where the guard room and officers was. There would be, you know, one of them round pool things with the... What the French used to have, you know, that, and used to wood fires and that, you know.
How did you get on with the French in the village?
Didn't have much contact with them when we first went there. But when we were shifted from there, we went to Fodrenois, and we had a long journey. I think it was a two-day journey, because we stopped at a place called Longny one night, because I was on brigade guard there, and I went up into brigade guard with the brigade guard. And I met some of the lads that lived beside us. They were in the 1st Militia, you know.
How long were you in the first place, San Remy?
San Remy, about 3 or 4 weeks. I think it was 3 or 4 weeks. About a month, I think, we were there.
Did you get any opportunity to relax? Was there anywhere to drink or have
cheese? We had the little chateau, you know. The stomach is, you know, little coughs, you know, we get into and get bottles of beer. But as I say, one night we went out to the trucks, took us out to Alencorn. There was like a fairground and all that there, and that's where the first got introduced to the brothels, really. Used to go in there regular.
Was there a lot of them went to brothels?
Oh, some of the lads were wicked, man.
Did they catch any of the diseases?
No, I didn't know. We never had any trouble with any diseases. Mind, I went to get We went to the dentist in... I forget now where the called the place was where we went to, but there was a big... the big dentist, big hospital, you know, and it was full of blinking VD cases. Dear me, I see some sights there, and if it... I wouldn't believe me eyes. Yeah, boys. I had a toothache, I had a hole in, and it was always getting abscesses on my gums, you know, and the upper girt pulled out. Oh, dear me. Some blokes lying in the sun, flies, thick with flies, and half their bodies rotting away with VD. Oh, it was awful, and it stunk. Oh, dear me.
What was the health of your battalion like in
pretty good.
The 30 days of pretty good. You weren't suffering from...
Well, man, they didn't get time to get bored. They didn't get time to get sick. Out in the morning there, digging trenches and all that.
At San Remy, you know, the first place that you were obviously in, were you training or did you do anything of that nature at this
when
place?
When we first got to... when we were at Fodren War, we did a lot of training and that. You know, basic training and that. And then we could get into Lille and that, you know. The wagons used to take us into Lille, where we went to pictures. I saw Gracie Fields in the Lille and that. And there's one or two bars where there was English speaking, you know. When we were in Fodren War. And...
The division was a mobile division. Were you doing anything on trucks and training and movement?
We did some training on trucks when we were in England, debussing and embussing and all that. But when we got to France, we never seen any trucks. You know, just an odd case. An odd one would come and tuck us out at night time and all that. And then the morning on the 10th of May, a good line of them come and we all got on and on all the way down to Belgium.
Before we come to that, you were San Remy about 3 weeks, you said. Then you moved on to
Fodren War.
Fodren War.
It was a two-day journey from...
And what were you doing there?
We did a lot of just basic training, really, you know, and out. I mean, it was all First World War stuff we were doing, you know. See? All First World War stuff we were doing. And, you know, house, from house to house, training and that, you know, just run around through houses and different things like that. But then we moved up to, it was quite good at Fodren War, but we didn't have much entertainment there, you know. There was only one little coffee and that there.
It's a small village, was it?
A small village, and we didn't get much entertainment there. We had... If it hadn't been for the goodness of Jack Harris and Sergeant Cook and all that, I mean, they used to go out and buy beer in and, you know, sell it, you know, little... We had a little canteen and all that.
What was the French drink like? Because you've mentioned beer. Were there other drinks that men would try for the first time?
Big tall bottles of black beer. Oh, it was awful. That's where I learned to drink rum. You buzzard. It's a little tot of rum like that for a franc and a half. Well, I was a rich man, you know, we sat on Lance Corporal's pier. Knew where to spend out, you know, because I never used to smoke. I didn't smoke none out like that when I was in France.
But did any of the French drinking, was it difficult to get used to? I think men coming from England drinking beer and then into France and...
They used to get on talking to the civilians like it when we were Fodren War, not that. I mean, even we made some good friends there, really. But as I say, we just used to go into the bar. There was never any trouble then out like that, you know. Not until we got up to near the Middlesex Regiment, then when we used to, if we used to wanted to go into Carbine or out like that, you know, when we were at Herren. Gondy Court and all that, we always have to go through the Middlesex Regiment's patch, you know. And there was, oh, dear me, we almost fights there. If you got to, if you got to where you wanted to go, the Jones deer used to fight you with a bucket daytime. But as I say, we had a good company. Lads that mucked in together, you know. You know, we very social among all of us. And we used to all go to one pub and we used to have a good time, you know. But the main idea was to go to coffee or out like that was because we liked to get... We didn't have to go to teas, you know. Although you used to have to get that dinner when they come back off the digging and all that. They never got out as mad to eat, you know. So they used to have pomme de terre chips, frites and all that, you boys, from... Man, they used to... I mean, we'd never had any eggs and chips and that coat the way they coat them and all, you know. It was posh money, you boys. I used to go into Lens just to have a feed like that. Sicklin, I used to go into Sicklin.
This quarter and a half that you were at, how long were you there?
Boys, that's the only thing I used to look scorned about. I never used to bother along with, you know, it never used to.
Where did you move to from there then?
From Fodrenwa, from Hearn. Mm-hmm. We moved from Fodrenwa up to Hearn.
What were you doing there, Hearn?
Hearn. That's when we started doing the digging and all that. We used to sometimes get the lads out doing a bit of...
How was that organised? How was the digging organised? How did you do it? Was it company by company or what was the arrangement?
It was mostly D company and C company because they were the miners. Of course, the captains and all that. I've got a good set of lads, but they're a better job than that, you know. And they used to hide their weight about it. Because then they used to get into a competition and all, yeah, boys. I went out twice, and I said, I'm not going out there anymore. I'm Lance Corporal, Lordly Corporal, that as much as I can. I didn't get much chance to get out. I didn't have any bother of missing it or out like that. But I went out one day, and you boys, I tell you what, I was up to here in water and slurry, and I says, I'm not coming back anymore. I says, I'll walk my way, ticket out of this out. But
what was the ditch like? The twice you were out, obviously you'd get a picture of it. How was it being constructed?
Well, what had happened was the Maginot Line came down to the Belgian border. Eh? Now, the Belgians weren't at war. Eh? They didn't come to go war till about the beginning of May. Eh? When he started coming through Holland, he, Belgians thought they better book their ideas up. Now, when they come to start thinking about it, there was the Maginot Line only went down the Belgian border between Belgium and Holland. We had to build tank traps. The only way to do was build tank traps. Now, of course, the guards and all them was up there then at the time. They set them on. Well, the guards had no mad idea of how to dig, you know, than the man in the moon. When they said that wasn't going to be a success, they whipped the blinking boyos in that could just pick and shovel lads in. And they went to town, the lads went to town, and they completed them tank traps. And they had a job on them. And mind, they were in some stage because it was all grey clear and wet weather, you know. When any wet weather out like that, it was all... Sometimes you'd gone to the digging on a morning and it was full of water and that.
This would be basically along the French-Belgian border.
Yeah. French-Belgian border. Up to, you know, up to Holland, you know. And they just got them kindly settled down and the lads was relaxing a bit. when we start to get these calls that fifth columnists, you know, used to get. We went out one night, the 16th platoon was called to go out. We were blinking there one night, the parachute was dropping in a blinking aerodrome. I forget the name of that place now. Bob knows it.
Your platoon was 16 platoon, wasn't it?
Aye, yeah, we went out.
We
went
the
out,
parachute scares.
We went, they sent trucks from HQ, we come down and we were out there. To, 2 nights we were out there. We never seen the aeroplane. And then your boys on. The battalion came up on the morning after the second day came driving up, cutting good enough for your boys on his horse like a charger, you know. You're the only one at the lunch, you know, and he would be. Where are they? Where's what? And you know, Mr. Daisy was a lovely bloke, you know, he was just quiet, you know, as quiet as out. He was just like, oh, Mr. Daisy, what have you been doing? He said, we've been doing nothing. It's all that happened here. It was all a false alarm. You boys, they come out charging everything, you know, everybody at full match and order on and fixed bayonets and goodness knows what. Come flying up. Then we came back to the to billets. We never settled down after then.
Can we go back to the ditch days when you're digging a ditch? How deep was this? You can get some idea of the size of the ditch that they were digging.
The ditches that they built, the tank traps.
Anti-tank ditch, yeah.
Why, they were about 20 feet down, you know. High and up that, built up, you know. Come down in a ledge, you know, and then it come down straight up at the back, you know. There was a lot of work in
there.
There
was a slope and then a straight.
Sloping, so, you know.
Were there any concrete defences?
No concrete, no. Just the ditches there. Maybe it's an odd wood obstacle or something like that, you know, pushed in or something like that. But that all. Where it was dry, mind, they were just perfectly made trenches. Like what you say at Vimy, you know, when you're at Vimy, them trenches, what you say like that. But they just went round them, and they never touched. They went round them, they went round with the Maginot Line, around the bottom.
This Heron, the place that you stayed in, what were the French people like there? Were they more friendly than other areas that you've been to?
Well, I never had much contact with the French people, but, I mean, we never had any bother with them around like that, you know. Some of the lads made friends with them and not like it.
Did any of the chaps get involved with the young ladies at all?
Not really. The lads got to say to this dear at Gondy Court at Herne. She had the little pub, you know, just outside of Sixpence. And the lads, just her and her sister, had a little pub there. And, I haven't got the photograph of it, but Bob's got it. And when we went, when the old Bob and them went back, the first time they went to her and all that, and they saw, what's the colour now?
Not to worry. What were the conditions like that you were living in that area? Were there any better than what you'd had?
They were better. Oh boy, better. Yeah, boy. In fact, the billet that we were in, we were in 16 platoon, still there. Because we went in. Oh, Bob went in. The first time he went in, and he went into the yard where we used to do, you know, the platoon used to fall in, and the bloke come out and asked him what he was doing, and he told him he was billeting there, and he took him upstairs. He says, oh, he says, here's your billets here. No, Bob says to him, he says, well, there's a little fountain, he says, like a well, he says, where we used to get our water from, he says, to get washed and all that. And he took him through the blinking place and that, and was still there and all that. Nice. Big, we had a lovely big brand new building, it was. For we had to get up about 20 stairs, main like, to get to it. It was lofted, like, it was nice.
This was one big long room, was it?
Yeah, it was one long room.
What were you sleeping on?
A little bit on the floor. Hard floor. Knee polyosis. Nobody seemed to bother about getting his polyosis. We never had... I can't remember whether we had polyosis or not when we returned. But it was a canny place. I mean, we didn't bother much about polyosis because the straw and the fleas and the different DNR. It was much cleaner. The lads used to keep the place nipping clean, you know, sweeping it out and all that to stop lice and different things, you know.
Did you have any problems with lice in France?
Not lice. No, fleas and not like... Oh, we didn't learn much about them till we got into prisoner work camp. That, but we never had any. We were quite fit. We were all fit. Put on some weight. And I went put on that much weight. My mother didn't recognise us, and she started to cry. And she said, "My photograph. Look, I was like a little dumpling."
Other than digging the ditch when you were in that area, were you doing any particular training again?
No, we never did much training there. The only time we started to do any training was when we got this call out and we came back for about a week. And we did it a lot. And then we had the incident of a big bomber came over. And somebody brought it down from HQ. And it came down and everybody... They didn't panic. They were after they'd done, man, was something new. And Skipper, good enough, we lost a flat out, all the NCOs and everything, jumped on the trucks and everything, and away then asked to catch the Germans, and I thought they were going to have it. And he says, "Do you realise," he says, "you all went away there?" And he says, "You left all this company unguarded and everything." Oh, well, wasn't left unguarded, like, because I was left. Dance corporal again. I didn't run away after it. I didn't want to. No, there's plenty of them went after it. But I mean, HQ company lads was there first because it dropped us. Remember when we were at Gondy Court? You know, that road we went out, where there was a road further back, a crossroads before we went into Gondy Court. That was the place down to Hearn, where we were at. And the plane came down in between that field there, where the lads from BHQ company come down that road where we came down in the bus, and that's where they caught the prisoners. Those two German officers are still alive.
Didn't get any opportunity to shoot on any of the ranges anywhere?
Not in France. I didn't think I fired my rifle till it was in action.
And did you stay?
I was just when we went down to Castle Bromwich and that, I fired my range down there. My brain gun and all that I had.
Was it from Heron that you went into Lille for your leisure? And
yeah. We... When I went on a cater, then you say I was on a cater for a fortnight. I think we were there about 7 or 8 weeks. A couple of months. March, January, February, March, April. About 7 or 8 weeks in that Hearn. We used to play the guards, football and all that. Norfolk Regiment. We got on well with them. Couldn't get on with the Middlesex Regiment, though. Yeah, I don't know. They used to stand in the streets and come back with their belt buckles. We went to Lille there to saw Gracie Fields.
Was that an Ensa concert, was that?
Yeah. But we never had any entertainment brought to us. We had, the only entertainment we had brought to us was when we were at in England, like. That's where we are now, enter programs from.
Were you at Heron and digging the ditch when the Germans invaded Holland and Belgium?
Yeah, they rushed us. On the 10th of May, we prepared for it. Like, I mean, after that do that we were, you know, when we called out on the night time, when we come back from there, we packed all our gear up, really, ready for a move. We knew we were going to move somewhere, but we didn't know where or out like that. Like, and then we got the call on the morning.